This morning we have a rather lengthy scripture portion. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 through 15, and I'll be using this as the background for my message today. So, with Bibles open, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Christians behaving in a worldly way, and that's the very reason why the apostle wrote these things to the Corinthians, who were, as we know, a worldly church and were steeped in sin. So he looked back in the Old Testament and saw how God handled sin. Just a reminder that dispensations is God's method of dealing with man. Satan does not deal with man dispensationally. His methods, his tools, are interdispensational. So sin back in Exodus is still sin today. So under grace, God has another method of handling that sin through Christ. But that's another subject. So we look at verses 11 and 12 of our portion. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world, or ends of the world, are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, the warning to us today. And we see back in, verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So twice in this portion of Scripture we have the emphasis that these things happened to Israel as examples for us today. The examples are of Israel in the wilderness, not forsaken of God, or Christ, should I say. Interesting observation in verse 4. The rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was present. As he said to the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, he stayed with his people and sought to bring them back into repentance. But they disobeyed. That's the very reason why they were forced to wander 40 years in the wilderness. You would think they'd learn something. They should have learned something when they came out of Egypt, and when they saw the Red Sea part and they could pass over on dry ground, and when they saw that the waters came back and destroyed the Egyptian army. They did see the salvation of God, the deliverance of God from the army and from the sea. And that's what he's saying here. that they passed through the sea. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. And they drank of the same spiritual drink. And that rock was Christ. The application, the generality is for us today. God was not well pleased with them. They were overthrown time and again in the wilderness. And these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That's what Paul was telling the Corinthians. Because they were lusting after evil things, and he brings up these examples that they should learn from Israel's mistakes, and they should heed them and repent of their evil deeds. Well, let's see in verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters. Evidently, the Corinthians were. They were, Israel was, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Where do we see that? Back in Exodus 32, verse 6 it is. And they rose up early in the morning, or on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So the apostle is quoting from the account of the golden calves in Exodus 32. Now we read verse 6, now verse 25. When Moses saw that the people were naked, because Aaron had made them naked to their shame among their enemies. Nakedness. Didn't God give covering to Adam? And doesn't God insist that we cover ourselves from then on? Nakedness was the downfall of Noah. Nakedness has been the downfall of man ever since, even today. When Moses saw that the people were naked, it stirred up his anger. His own brother Aaron had made them naked in their shame among their enemies. What kind of a testimony did Israel have among their enemies? They were naked. Worse than the heathen. And in many cases, many Christians act worse than many of the unbelievers do today. Oh, we can see many of the comparisons, but we must go on. We go to verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Fornication, sex drive of man, can't control his emotions. Can't control his sex drive. Thou shalt not commit fornication. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. The law says, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom. Now we see that in the Old Testament. During those wilderness wanderings, they came through Shittim, and the men looked after the women of the Gentile cursed people, coveted after them, couldn't control their sex drive. So the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. In verse 9, those that died in the plague were 24,000. We see in verse 8, there's 23,000. Now in verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. They had a plague. God sent them a plague, that they would be destroyed. And he did destroy 23,000. There's a plague going on today in Australia. In the whole world, there's a pandemic, which means the whole world is having a plague called coronavirus. Or some say China virus. Same thing. God has allowed this to happen. Some might say God has sent it on the world today. Is it a tool of Satan, or is it a allowance of God, wake-up call, that we might see what God is doing? Is a prelude to the Great Tribulation? Are we getting an example of what's going to happen after the church has gone into glory? In any event, the call is to repent of your sinful deeds. And the only one who can help is Jesus Christ, as we'll see in a few moments. So they tempted Christ. That's in verse 9 of our text. They tempted Christ. We're going back now to Exodus chapter 17. And we read verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" Were they thinking that Moses was some kind of magician? He could just cause a spring to pop out of the desert? They were tempting the Lord. They weren't happy with what God was doing with them. And I'm afraid a good number of people, yes, even believers, are not entirely pleased with what God is doing. They pray and they have problems. So in verse 7, now we're back in Exodus 17, Moses called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, here's the meaning of chiding. Chide? Is the Lord among us or not? Well, we're his people, aren't we? We're supposed to be his people. If we are, where's God? And how many believers today are saying, where's God? The coronavirus hits the family. Even Christians are not immune to it. We have to take care as well. We have to keep washing our hands and remain aloof from other people. Social distancing, as it's called. And you say, where's God? I prayed, but still I have this virus. What's the matter? You chide God. God knows what he's doing. Notice verse 13. We'll come to it again later on, but it's such an important verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Notice that God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it, whether it be by death or by life. For me to live is Christ, to die is more Christ, as we see in Colossians. So we find that they chided Moses by tempting the Lord, much like people do today. Now going to verse 10 of our text. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. They murmured. Well, let's go back to Numbers chapter 14 now. And we're going to read verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured. There's our word. They murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. Going on back in Numbers 14, verse 29, God spoke through Moses, his servant, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered among you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, God does not tolerate such behavior. And they were, what does it say? Destroyed of the destroyer. Destroyed of the destroyer. I'm thinking back to verse 9. They were destroyed of serpents. God hates sin. Oh, he loves the sinner. That's why Christ died for our sin. But he hates the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, all these examples, and we've had several in our passage today, all these examples are for a purpose. Verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them, Israel, for our learning, for our admonition, for our example, that we would not lust as they lusted, that we would not sin as they sinned. Take a warning, folks. They're written for our admonition. That word admonition means to bring back to mind, to learn, to bring to mind, to bring to remembrance. That word admonition, Paul is fond of that word. We see it in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them about the Lord. Teach them about the repercussions of sin. What will happen if they chide or tempt the Lord? What will happen if they commit fornication? What will happen if they murmur against what God's providing? We have all. We have more than we need. We have more than we deserve. God is gracious. How many of us appreciate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now this passage in Ephesians 6:4 says, to bring them up, bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know that we never cease to be children. In our physical behavior, we have a lot to learn. We have yet to learn the greatness of God, the magnitude of His grace. We have yet to learn what Jesus Christ wants to do in our lives. As D.L. Moody once said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man who's totally yielded. The world has yet to see. No man has achieved that point. We are to bring back to mind, yes, even the things that we talked about here in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Is not this COVID-19, this coronavirus, is it not an admonition? Forcing us to wake up and forcing us to give ourselves over to the Lord as this age of grace comes to a close. And I'm just wondering, is the world not seeing something of what's going to happen in the future? Thousands are being killed in one country, Italy, for example. Tens of thousands are succumbing to this virus, which is, in so many cases, deadly. Lives are being snuffed out the world over. Why? Because of sin, which doth so easily beset us. We as Christians are fortunate. We have the Word of God, especially for those of us who claim to understand the Word of God rightly divided. We are forced into it. We may not like it. We may pray for deliverance. But we are still in this world. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Pandemic, it's common the world over. Now God says there's an escape. It may not be being delivered from the pandemic, but it will be being delivered from the presence of sin when God takes us home to be with Him. Notice the world media says absolutely nothing concerning the only possible answer, Jesus Christ. Rather, the world is forcing churches to close so the word cannot go out publicly. We can still pray. We can still witness. The airwaves are open. We can still preach the gospel over television, over the radio, or may it even be over the CDs that we receive. We can still hear God's word, even though the world seeks to stifle it. Now, verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Notice ends of the world. Ends of the age, or ages. It's not speaking of the new heavens and new earth. It's speaking of the dispensations. Every dispensation in the Bible has ended with judgment. Have you noticed that? And I guess this age of grace will also, as many will turn away from the truth of God's word, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's happening. It's happening. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above all that we are able to bear, but will, with that temptation, make a way of escape that we can bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from sin. Flee from those things we've talked about. Flee from those things God hates. And he says finally in verse 15, I speak as to wise men. In your mind, judge ye what I say. In your own mind. Now that you learn some things, you judge yourself. How am I fitting in to these examples that we've been talking about? Judge ye what I say.